while she was still married to my father. Most recently, and more so even than that, I regretted signing the contract for Adriana. I wanted her sister, in my bed, against the wall, on her knees. I'd involuntarily gone over what it would take to get out of the contract, knew exactly what I would do. My family was known for breaking agreements. It was what got my papa killed, in fact. Not the best incentive, but I didn't fear the Abellis. Didn't fear anything at all, honestly, which would probably be the cause of my eventual demise. I wanted Elena Abelli, and starting a feud just so I could have her was beginning to sound less and less like a bad idea every time she was near. But I wasn't going to go through with the twisted plan my mind had created. I wanted to fuck her. I didn't want to marry her. My wife was only supposed to be a woman I could respect and who'd have my children, not one I was so fascinated with I couldn't think straight. In this life, I couldn't afford the distraction, didn't want the attachment, and she'd fucked with my head already. Though, as regrettable as it was, I couldn't help but to be interested in everything that came out of the girl's mouth. It was getting to the point where she couldn't make a move without my notice, no matter how much I tried to stop myself. I didn't know why she spoke so freely and obstinately with me, though it was probably because she now considered me to be a fucking brother. If only she knew that when she talked back to me, I wanted to cover her mouth with my palm, back her up against a wall, and then watch the shock in her soft brown eyes as I slid my hand beneath that tiny pink thong she was wearing. Fucking pink. For some reason, when I saw that, my control shook hard. If I'd started, I wouldn't have stopped. I would have fucked her up against an alley wall, and I had a tenacious feeling it wouldn't have been enough. It was the Russo blood in me. It wanted what it wanted, and fuck everything else. The alley door shut with a click behind me, pulling me from my thoughts. I buttoned my suit jacket and followed Elena down the hall, that silky black ponytail within arm's reach. When she'd spun around in the alley, it hit me in the chest. I had to tell myself it wasn't a fucking leash, because after I grabbed it earlier, I now wanted to pull her around by it, straight to my bed, whether she liked it or not. The cut of her dress was low, bearing smooth olive skin, while only thin strings crisscrossed her back. The black fabric hugged the curve of her ass, leaving nothing to the imagination but what it would look like bare. Jesus, what I could do to that ass. Not fucking helpful, Russo. I forced my gaze away and ignored the heat running straight to my dick. Without another word to me, she entered the main room and headed toward her sister and Nonna, who appeared to be playing a game with crayons on a kid's menu. The atmosphere was light, the chatter friendly, which I should have been relieved to see, but frankly, I would have welcomed a little animosity right now. I was worked up, my shoulders tense with pent-up sexual frustration. Tony sat with his back toward me, laughing with his cousins. We'd yet to engage each other tonight. I knew we would have to get on eventually, and so I'd invited the idiot to come along. Right now, with this frustration chafing beneath my skin, I was glad I had. I headed to the bar and sat next to Luca. I needed a drink, just one, to take the edge off. The last time I'd gotten drunk was 6 years ago, and I'd fucked my stepmother. Lesson learned. Luca side-eyed me with an amused expression as he took a drink of his beer. He apparently knew I wanted Elena, just like every fucking other man in New York. It was more entertaining, I supposed, because I wasn't quiet about disliking her before I'd even met her. Fuck off, I gritted. His chuckle was quiet. A few moments later, I nursed my whiskey, vaguely listening to my cousin Lorenzo talk about the horse he'd bet too much money on. I'm telling you, the odds on this are good. Lorenzo trailed off, staring at what had to be some girl behind my back. Jesus Christ, I want to marry that woman. A wave of agitation ran through me because I knew who he spoke of, but I only swirled the whiskey in my glass before taking an annoyed sip. I heard Elena laugh softly at something Tony had said behind me. I bit down on the liquor, swallowing. She was so loyal to her idiot of a brother, the one who'd almost gotten her killed. My teeth clenched. I needed an outlet for this before it exploded. It was either fighting or fucking. And since I knew the latter would be tainted right now by everything Elena Abelli, the former would have to do. I slipped my phone out of my pocket. Then, I forwarded the photo of Jenny to Tony and waited. Truthfully, I hadn't had a girlfriend. She was more accurately a steady fuck, which was the closest thing to a girlfriend I'd had. I didn't think Elena would give me as much sympathy if I'd said that, so I fibbed, like the cheat I was. Tony had slept with Isabel, making sure I found out, and so, out of mere principle, I'd fucked Jenny. It was kind of embarrassing how easy it had been. I hadn't spoken to Jenny for more than a year now. With her recent contact, I assumed Tony must not be able to get her off as well with his left hand as he could his right. Ace? I swirled my whiskey. Let it happen.
Okay, boss.
Lorenzo took a step back. Luca shook his head and left his seat. I shouldn't have done it. I didn't start shit in public. But I was afraid of what I would do if I didn't. If I ran into Elena Abelli again tonight, I'd lose my goddamn mind. A sudden wave of tension brushed my back before a dull pain exploded in the side of my head.
Tony!
Celia gasped as the glass tumbler shattered and pinged as it hit the floor. The room fell into silence. I couldn't help a corner of my lips from lifting. Thank God that fucker was reckless.
Chapter 19. Imperfection is beauty. Madness is genius. And it's better to be absolutely ridiculous than absolutely boring. Marilyn Monroe. Elena.
Stupido!
Mamma repeated the word three times, her voice resounding in deaf ears, before muttering in Italian that all of her children were stupido as she left the kitchen.
Fuck, Elena, stop.
Tony winced. I pulled the cotton ball away from the nasty cut on his face. You can hit Nicolas with your injured hand, but you can't take a little burn of alcohol? And to think that I had waited on him all night, when he could throw punches like he was 100%. He was regretting it now, with his tight expression and the red seeping through the bandage on his hand. God, he looked awful. There was nothing more gruesome than watching two men pummel each other half to death, especially when you had the odd feeling of not knowing who you wanted to win. Tony, right? I swallowed, feeling like a traitor. After Tony had shattered a glass against his future brother-in-law's hard head, Nicolas had wrapped an arm around my brother's neck and slammed him to the floor. The heavy thunk still resonated in my mind. Nonna had looked up from her game of tic-tac-toe with my sister and sighed. Finally, some entertainment. Adriana had taken a sip of wine, her expression lightening since whatever news she'd received earlier, and oddly enough, bet my Nonna $50 on Tony. Apparently, Nicolas was part of the reason she was upset. Papa had only sat back in his chair and watched, and so had Nicolas's uncles. No one was stepping in, and for all I knew, they were going to fight to the death. The thought settled unpleasantly in my stomach until I couldn't watch it any longer. I waited outside, in front of the restaurant, with Dominic. I wasn't sure how it had started, but I imagined Tony had found out about the picture, or maybe Jenny had admitted she'd been with Nicolas recently. And this was the aftermath. Red marks covered Tony's bare torso, the beginning of bruises forming on his ribs and back. Blood spilled from a nasty cut on his face, from his nose, his lip, and dripped down his chest. He leaned back in the island chair, dressed in his shoes and dress pants, texting. What's the cut from? I was unsure of how such a ragged wound from the corner of his eye to his hairline had been the product of a fist fight. Though I guessed it was a pretty severe one, as though they'd both been saving all their aggression for it. Broken chair leg. My eyes widened. He hits you with a chair leg? What a cheat. Yeah. After I hit him with it. Oh. Truthfully, I didn't know why I was even trying to help Tony. He hadn't exactly been the best brother as of late. It made me feel like a pushover. But for as long as I could remember, I'd had this mother hen gene I couldn't get rid of. It was an urge to help I couldn't ignore. I didn't know where I'd gotten it. It wasn't from my mama, and as Nonna used her cane to push open the kitchen door and then thanked Tony for winning her $50, not from her either. My skin also danced with an edginess that tonight had left behind. I had to do something to stay busy. Otherwise, thoughts of him came to the surface, making me feel hot all over. And to be clear, it was the wrong him I thought of. I crossed my arms, still wearing my dress and heels. Well, did you get some hits in? Because it looks like you took the brunt of it. A sarcastic gaze flicked to me before he glanced back to his phone. I got enough. Please tell me you aren't texting Jenny. I'm not texting Jenny, he said dryly. He was texting Jenny. You both cheat on each other. Don't you think it's not the healthiest relationship to be in? He set his phone on the island and ran his hand through his hair. I love her, Elena. A little lump formed in my throat. Sometimes love isn't enough, Tony. Of course not. He responded with a serious tone, and I thought we were going to have an intelligent, meaningful conversation for once. But then he opened his mouth again. Good sex has to come with it. I sighed. He laughed and ran a hand down his chest, smearing blood as he did. You're a good sister, Elena. Now come give your big brother a hug. No, I frowned. You're sweaty and bleeding. A hug is the least I can do. The least you can do is not. No, Tony, don't. He squeezed me in a bear hug and made a show of wiping his nasty manness all over me. I groaned, wrinkled my nose, and tried to fight my way out of it. He sucked in a breath.
Fuck.
I froze. What?
Broken rib, I think.
I winced and pulled back just as Papa pushed the kitchen door open. He glanced at my first aid supplies on the counter and then at me with disapproval, telling me not to coddle Tony. His gaze went to his son, eyeing him with that judgmental stare he was good at.
You look like shit.
Tony chuckled.
Thanks, Pops.
The door swung shut and then Papa's voice filtered through it.
Office, now.
Wide awake, with all my synapses still firing, I dragged my feet to my room as the hot shower water sluiced down my skin. I wondered how bad Nicolas got it. Who was cleaning his cuts? Gianna? An unpleasant weight pulled on my chest. In a restless daze, I combed my wet hair and then pulled on some panties and a tight t-shirt that said, "Sleep tight, I bite." Lying in bed, the gothic band Type O Negative leaked from Adriana's room and into mine. A good sister would have gone to ask her why she was upset, but I was beginning to learn I was a selfish one. I closed my eyes, wishing I could only flip a switch to get rid of this attraction for her fiancé. When I opened them, I still felt it. A fascination so deep in my skin, it was like it had always been there, lying dormant. My breathing turned shallow as I relived the night. His presence brushing mine, his deep voice in my ear, his hand on my thigh pushing my dress up and up. Warmth ran between my legs, leaving an emptiness behind I was scared only he could fill. I had it bad, so bad. I wanted this man like I hadn't even known you could want a man. Throwing the covers back, I slid out of bed and padded to the dresser. I pulled a Zippo lighter out of my clutch. With the scratchy sound of the flint, a flame danced before my eyes. After the fight, I'd gone back inside to retrieve my purse and found the lighter on the floor. It was his, with an ace of spades on the side. I took it as easily as he took my sanity. Climbing back into bed, I lay there and flicked the Zippo open and closed, filling the room with a flame for a man I shouldn't have. Before I snuffed it out. Chapter 20. A woman is like a tea bag. You can't tell how strong she is until you put her in hot water. Eleanor Roosevelt. Elena. I'm going on a run, I yelled downstairs. A sleepy grumble sounded in the dark man cave before I slammed the door. I liked to pretend I could leave the house and run in our gated community alone, but I couldn't. So I sat on the staircase and took my time lacing up my sneakers. It was early, 8 o'clock, maybe, and a couple servants were moving around, cleaning an already clean house. There was always someone here. When I married and owned my own home, I didn't want servants. I wanted to walk the halls naked. Hopefully, that would be enough incentive for my husband to agree. A moment later, Dominic appeared, his thick hair mussed from sleep and his broody expression even broodier than usual. He wore a sleeveless t-shirt, running shorts, and shoes. I knew underneath there would be a gun strapped to his thigh. Gabriella came around the corner, carrying some sheets. Her eyes brightened when she saw me. Oh, good, you're running. I'll start with your room then. Your nona yells at me when I go in hers earlier than 10. Her dark hair was in a messy pile on the top of her head, and her smile was infectious. I couldn't help my own. Yeah, you'll have to maintain a queen's schedule with her. Gabriella had vivacious good looks and a coquettish personality. I'd wondered if the men in my family were taking advantage of it. But I knew I was wrong as she walked up to Dominic, who was texting, go figure, stood on her tiptoes, and whispered something in his ear I could only imagine was dirty. He never pulled his gaze away from his phone, but a grin tugged at his lips. Later, was all he said. She dropped back to her heels with a shy smile and then excused herself as she made her way past me up the stairs. Him too? Unbelievable, I muttered when she was out of earshot. You don't even have to look at a woman to get laid. I received the tiniest bit of amusement from him as he slid his phone in his pocket. Let's go before it gets hot. We ran the entirety of the gated community. I waved to Tim Foltz as we passed, who was getting into his car for work at the law firm. The rest of the properties were quiet. The people who could afford them spending half the year on vacation, or still in their beds with a small hangover and an expensive prostitute. I noticed Ryan mowing one of their lawns, and a bitter feeling ran through me. By 10 o'clock, as we were within sight of the house, the sun beat down harder than ever. Sweat made a lazy path down my back and my lungs burned. Jumping into the pool sounded better than any idea I'd ever had. I'll race you home, I panted. No, Dominic maintained a steady pace, but his shirt was soaked with sweat. Come on, chicken. If I were 5, that might have worked. I'll tell Papa where your stash of pot is. He blew out a sarcastic breath, shook his head, and then sprinted. Hey! With burning thighs, I picked up the pace until I was side by side with him. I shoved his shoulder for cheating, managing to push him over a step. Though I soon realized he wouldn't return the gesture, considering Papa stood on the front porch with an unfamiliar man, their eyes on us. Nicolas's car sat in the driveway, and when he stepped his big body out of it, my heartbeat faltered, which created a domino effect of flutters in my chest. Dominic slowed, apparently thinking it wasn't appropriate to race his cousin in company. I met him stride for stride until my feet touched our front lawn. Dominic put his hands on the back of his head and sucked in deep breaths. Son of a bitch, he complained, panting. Too much smoking, I told him, choking on air because I was trying to inhale it so fast. He raised a brow in a way of asking me what my excuse was. Mama's cookies, I told him unashamedly. He laughed in that quiet, thoughtful way of his. My thighs were on fire, but I resisted the pull to drop to my knees. I would have made a show of falling to the lawn any other day, but unfortunately we had company. I believed if I told myself Nicholas's presence was unfortunate, it would eventually feel that way. Grasping at straws was all I had. My hair stuck to my sweat-soaked face, and my heart pounded without a pause. I rested my wrists on the top of my head, trying to catch my breath while my eyes unwillingly coasted to Nicholas. He wore a gray suit, white undershirt, and black tie. He looked like a million bucks, just as he always did. I had the sudden desire to wipe some of my sweat on him. He flicked a gaze to me as he strode down the walkway. His expression wasn't very nice for the half second it landed on me. There wasn't a kink in his step, and from a distance, he didn't appear to have been in a table-smashing fight last night. Tony was probably still sleeping downstairs, recovering. He'd spent the night, and I could only hope it was because he was thinking about his relationship with Jenny. Papa's voice pulled me from my thoughts.
Elena, come here.
I groaned internally. That was the classic, come meet this man tone. Glancing at Papa, I tried to convey that I wasn't dressed to meet someone, but he only gave me a blank look, his demand withstanding. Dominic rounded the house to the back door, and I burned with jealousy. With a sigh, I headed to the porch and closer to a certain soon-to-be brother-in-law. My sweaty skin became a live wire. I stood next to my father and his guest, but only vaguely heard my papa's introduction, because Nicholas was a few feet away. He leaned against a porch column with his hands in his pockets, his gaze warm against my face. A red mark marred his cheekbone, and it looked like he had a cut on the edge of his bottom lip. That gentleman look went up in smoke. I turned my attention to Papa's guest. It's nice to meet you, Christian. I had the uncanny ability to subconsciously take in information, especially when it came to my father's introductions. I glanced at Christian's face and then paused. Because holy handsome. Dark hair, piercing blue eyes, with soft yet angled features that were the epitome of masculine magnetism. But there was something cold about him. Maybe it was how his watch fit his wrist, how straight his tie was, how his suit was pressed, and how confident his stance was. The man was a perfectionist, I'd bet money on it. When he smiled, the cold look transformed into charm, if not a bit indifferent. He was so unbelievably handsome, I found a blush warming my cheeks. I should have come a little earlier and gotten my workout in with you. Looked like you were giving your cousin a run for his money, he said. The wheels in my head spun. This man was charming, had a cultured, if not slightly cavalier, tone, and was a real Adonis. I smiled shyly. Well, Christian, I run at 8 in the mornings. It was an invitation, and surprisingly enough, Papa didn't even blink. His expression stayed appeased. I wasn't sure if that was a good or bad thing. Christian laughed, running the thumb of his right hand over the watch on his left. I'll have to keep that in mind. His gaze warmed, remaining a sliver detached. It's been a pleasure, Elena. Papa said something, but the cogs were turning in my head too loudly to hear. As Christian and my father headed inside, I turned to watch them go. Christian was going to snuff out the flame I held for Nicholas. He was the first intriguing man I'd met since my sister's fiancé, and I was going to do everything I could to get to know him better. Hopefully, my crush would transfer over like a bad transaction, which it would be, if that dangerous perfectionist vibe was anything to go by. Flicking my gaze to where Nicholas had stood, my attention halted on him when I realized he was still here. He was giving me the rudest look I'd ever seen, and for him that meant something. Since when do you run every morning? How did he know I didn't? I blinked. Since right now. His jaw ticked, and he flicked a dark gaze toward the side before focusing it on me. I realized that was Nicolas Russo's way of rolling his eyes in disgust. What the heck was his problem?
He's a cop.
I couldn't help the little nose wrinkle. Well, not ideal, but I guessed I could work with it. He didn't look like a cop, and I could usually tell. Even when they were crooked, they still didn't fit. He was FBI, maybe. No way he was a street cop. They never came to the house. And the fact that Christian had must mean he was high profile and didn't fear getting spotted by any surveillance. Only the dark side of the world knew how corrupt the government was. Maybe it was why I was so interested in politics. My life was immersed in it already. After a moment, I lifted a shoulder. Okay. His gaze sparked.
Stay away from him.
I paused, not understanding his sudden temper. Maybe this was about last night. Was he that mad about the phone incident? I didn't tell Tony about the photo, Nicolas.
I know, he said with heat. I did.
My eyes narrowed. Why would you do that?
I wanted to beat the shit out of your brother.
I blinked, not expecting such a candid response, and then let out a half laugh. Well, was it as satisfying as you had hoped?
No.
The word was dark, full of meaning and underlined with something magnetic that tingled in my breasts. He glanced at my hand by my side and then back at me.
Not very faithful, are you?
I was taken aback even though I didn't understand. What's that supposed to mean? Instead of answering me, he pushed off the column and ran a hand down his tie.
He's not fucking Italian. There's no chance for you and him.
Back on the Christian kick, were we? Nicolas took a step toward the open front door, apparently done with this conversation. My papa hadn't seemed to have an issue with what I'd said to Christian. Why was Nicolas making such a big deal of it? Frustration swelled in my chest, and the words slipped from my lips before I could stop them. Who said I'm thinking about marriage? He halted, his dark gaze practically assaulting me. Wrong thing to say.
I swear to God, Elena, if I find out you've let some man touch you, I will deliver his hands to you in a box.
I swallowed.
And I do not fucking bluff.
He slammed the door behind him. Chapter 21. I can resist anything except temptation. Oscar Wilde. Elena. There comes a point in life when you know that what you want to do is wrong, and you have to decide whether to avoid the temptation or do it anyway. I was doing it anyway. Nicolas's words should have left a puddle of dread in my stomach. However, they had the opposite effect, sinking into my skin and sending a breathless shiver all the way to my toes. The man was rude, arrogant, and slightly psychotic. The logical part of me didn't like him, but the carnal part? God, didn't want to give him anything he wanted, which was a serious problem. Only made all the more serious by the fact that his statement had sounded suspiciously like jealousy. The idea had left a thrill behind, even as he slammed the door in my face. It left a dangerous, dangerous desire to know for sure. What I was doing was manipulative and slightly juvenile, but I didn't have time to spare. I wanted this new man's interest, and I wanted it fast. Although I might have been challenging the possibility of Nicolas's jealousy more than anything. I had to know if this wasn't embarrassingly one-sided. I didn't know what I would do with the results, but I wasn't thinking that far ahead. All I knew was that I needed to know. So I was testing it. Teasing it. Taunting it. It included a bathing suit, a scene inspired by Fast Times at Ridgemont High, minus the nudity, unfortunately, and a certain male's attention. Water dripped down my body as I pulled myself out of the pool, wrung my hair out, and sat on a lounge chair. A light breeze blew through the yard, and the radio played 70s rock quietly. As I leaned back on my hands and let the sun warm my skin, I realized I was as weak as my face was symmetrical. What I was doing could have been innocent enough, but why I was doing it was for all the wrong reasons. I'd wanted to swim before Christian, Nicholas, and Papa came out to sit at the patio table with paperwork before them. But it became a priority after I'd noticed they had. I wore a light pink one-piece. Papa would kill me if I strutted around in a bikini while he had guests over. But I liked to push it, especially because it was the only thing I could get away with. It was the most risque one-piece I owned, with only two strings crisscrossing my back, and it was slightly too small, the fabric often riding up my ass. Papa sat with his back to me, Christian at the end of the table, and Nicolas facing me. The latter's gaze was warm and thrilling each time it touched my skin. He leaned back in his chair and tapped his pen on his papers, his eyes coasting to me every once in a while. I didn't know what I was doing. I'd never tried my seductive wiles before now. Before I met Nicholas, I only wanted to be as inconspicuous as possible. Truly, I wasn't acting on rational thought. I was running on some kind of innate feeling that pulsated in my chest and manipulated my actions. Occasionally, Christian would glance my way, though it was more detached, as if he appreciated a woman's form, but that was all. I guessed I would have to win him over with my personality then, cop or not. He was intriguing enough to get to know. With Christian, the darkness lingered under the cold, whereas Nicholas wore his on his sleeve. I wasn't sure which was worse. They knew one another. I could tell by the way they sat near each other, how easily they communicated. They were friends. I couldn't envision anyone volunteering to be Nicholas Russo's friend. But Christian did look the part if I had to imagine one. As I stood and pulled my hair out of my ponytail, the heat of two gazes settled on my back. It was most likely due to the fact I had a wedgie bearing half my ass. A shiver coasted down my spine. This probably wasn't doing anything for the women's movement, but there really wasn't one of those in the Cosa Nostra. With the warmth of their eyes still touching me, Papa's voice trailed off as if he'd noticed. He was going to yell at me any minute. I could feel it in the air. I sighed, grabbed my towel, and started for the door, neglecting to fix my wedgie. Glancing at Nicholas before I headed inside, I swallowed. His pen rested against his lips, and his gaze followed me, simmering with anger. I wasn't sure what that reaction meant. He could be annoyed I was splashing around while he was trying to work. God, what was I even doing? Once I was in the safety of the house, away from my distracting future brother-in-law, my actions felt ridiculous. The house was quiet. Adriana was at her last class of summer theater. Mamma was probably in her room binging on soap operas, Nonna on Jerry Springer, and the boys were in the basement, their laughter filtering up the stairs and into the kitchen. Tony was always involved with Papa's work, but my father was probably giving him the day off, considering the good beating he'd taken last night and the fact that Nico had been the one to give it to him. I paused. Nico? Merda. I padded barefoot to the counter to grab a glass. Swimming always made me feel like I was dying of dehydration. Opening the cabinet, I stared at the empty bottom shelf. It was getting to the point I was about to put a lock on the entire cupboard, of which only the women in the house knew the code. Sighing, I stood on my tiptoes and struggled to reach the glass far back on the top shelf. As I was about to give up and climb the counter, I felt it. The hair on the back of my neck rose. Nico's body heat brushed my back as an inked forearm reached above me, grabbed a glass, and then set it on the counter next to me. I tensed, my gaze focused on busted knuckles and an ace of spades tattooed on tanned skin. Anger rolled off him, and in the dark kitchen, it sent a cool mixture of fear and anticipation buzzing through me. Dropping to my heels and grasping the cup, I breathed, "Thanks." I tried to move away from him, but I was forced to step back when his hands gripped the counter on either side of me, trapping me. My heart drummed so fast, it stole my breath. "You know what happens when you dance around men looking like this?" I swallowed and shook my head. "They don't respect you." His voice was rough and so close to my ear, it sent a shiver down my neck. Who said I want their respect? His grip tightened on the counter. "You want him to fuck you?" I blinked. "What?" "Christian," he growled. "And if I do?" I asked quietly. "My earlier statement is withstanding." I inhaled slowly, trying to think clearly in his presence. "Do you respect me?" I had no idea where it came from, but it was there now, lingering in the air with a heavy insinuation. He didn't answer. A wave of shock rolled through me when the pad of his finger traced the hem of my swimsuit bottoms that still bared too much of my ass. My breath stopped when his other hand slid up my side and gripped my waist beneath my breast. My nipples tightened, tingling in expectation. Heat pulsated between my legs, and I fought the desire to grab his hand and slide it up until he palmed my breast. I swayed, fighting the need to lean back against him, to feel his body against mine. His fingers slid under my bottoms, gliding over the curve of my ass where it almost met thigh. All the blood in my body sizzled when he came too close to a taboo part of me. Though it was probably only taboo to me, since no one had ever touched me there before. Wetness pooled between my thighs. The desire for him to touch me, to slip his fingers inside me right here in the kitchen, was so strong, I inched up on my tiptoes and arched my back, urging his hand lower. He cursed roughly and pulled the fabric out from between my cheeks. His hand slid around my hip, grasping my waist to match the other one. They were so close to my breasts, I was losing my mind. I fell back until I was leaning against him, and my entire body sang like it never had before. My nerve endings buzzed and sparked like rain on a live wire. He was so warm and horrid. His erection pressed against my lower back. Nicolas Russo was turned on, and I'd never experienced a single thing more thrilling. My head rested on his chest, and the buttons on his dress shirt tickled my bare spine. I brought my hand to my waist and slipped my fingers between his. Our breathing filled the kitchen. When I heard my brother's laughter from downstairs, I realized how dangerous this was. Anyone could come in. "You want me to respect you?" It was a loaded question, but I only knew one answer. Only wanted one thing from this man, and only needed it once, so I could know what it was like. I shook my head. I wanted him to disrespect me. Every inch of me. His hands tightened on my waist almost painfully, as if he struggled to keep them there. He nuzzled the back of my head, but his voice was suddenly as cold as ice. "You like it when men disrespect you." A chill passed through me. My hand still rested on his, and he gently spun my ring with a finger until the jewel faced downward. His teeth scraped my ear.
Or maybe you just like to get them all worked up, panting after you.
His lips brushed my neck and goosebumps broke out along my body.
So, which one is it?
I was a slut or a tease? Those were the options he'd given me, what he thought of me. Frustration expanded in my chest. Both. He stilled before making an angry sound in his throat and shoving me away from him. I grasped the counter, catching myself, and then spun around. His gaze flared.
Looks like you're as big of a cheat as I am, Elena.
What was that supposed to mean? That was the second time he'd insinuated I was somehow disloyal. Ice trickled into my veins when someone appeared at the top of the basement stairs. Gabriella. She looked between us, back and forth, and smiled awkwardly and hurried from the kitchen. I wasn't in a position to analyze why she had been down there with three of the men in my family, and even if I were, I didn't care to dwell on it. The relief was palpable that she hadn't entered a moment sooner.
Go upstairs and change, Elena.
Nico's voice was hard and uncompromising. Did he honestly believe I would do what he said? God, he was so full of himself. My eyes narrowed. No. He ran his tongue across his teeth, and before I understood his intention, he had an arm around the backs of my thighs and my feet left the floor. A breath whooshed out of me as he tossed me over his shoulder.
Guess I'll have to do it for you then,
he bit out as he carried me to the door. Okay! Okay, I'll do it! When he didn't put me down, I struggled and tried to wiggle out of his grip. His arm tightened around my thighs like a vise, and I couldn't move an inch. He pushed open the swinging door, and panic flooded me. Stop, I hissed, hanging upside down. I said I'll do it.
Ask me nicely.
My teeth clenched. Please, put me down. He dropped me to my feet in the foyer. His eyes flicked to the staircase in that commanding way of telling me to get there. There's something seriously wrong with you, I told him as I walked away, my heart beating so hard against my ribcage it hurt. He released a sardonic breath.
You haven't seen anything, Elena.
Truthfully, that's what I was worried about. Chapter 22. That was the beginning of the end of our thing. Anthony Queso. Elena. Come in! The door of the penthouse on the 22nd floor swung open, and Gianna stood on the other side. I didn't believe that even someone who knew Gianna would be able to guess what she would wear next. Tonight, it was a small black dress, with a hem cutting diagonally from one hip to the opposite knee. Tall red pumps. Fishnet stockings. Wavy hair that was half up, tied in two knots on the top of her head, and no makeup. Really, she didn't need it. You're early, she exclaimed. Her eyes shone a little too bright. Her pupils too large. She was high. Cocaine, most likely. I've brought some bruschetta and seafood salad, Mama said, moving into the kitchen with a tiny bowl of tomatoes, while Benito struggled with everything else. Adriana and I stayed in the hallway, hesitating. Why was Gianna answering Nicolas's door? A sliver of something unpleasant curled in my chest, and for a split second, I didn't like Gianna. The feeling was so strong and sudden, I had to inhale a breath to push it away. It was an unreasonably jealous reaction I shouldn't have had, especially after yesterday. The problem was, I could still feel his hands on me, like I'd been branded for life. The only other man who'd gotten as close as Nicolas was a man with a warm, gentle touch, which faded to memory only seconds later. What I would give to reverse the two. Adriana stepped into the apartment, her eyes taking it all in. So this is going to be my prison cell. Mama gasped and spun around to shoot her a look. Adriana! My sister walked further into the room with me following behind. Gianna laughed. Thankfully, this prison comes with great amenities. I'll give you a tour. Apparently, Nicolas owned a few properties in New York, and he'd chosen this one for Adriana. It wasn't as quaint or as homey as his red brick house, but it was upscale in every meaning of the word. It was modernly decorated, with white and silver marble floors, lots of glass tables, and chrome finishes. The lighting was dim and romantic, twinkling off the wall of glass that showcased the city. It was breathtaking. But I knew my sister would hate it. I hate it, she said sourly, examining the view. Oh, come on, Benito responded, throwing an arm around her shoulder. It ain't so bad. Look, it's even got a pool. It did. The blue water lay still, the railing nothing but glass, before a 200-foot drop. If you like it so much, then you live here, Adriana said. Don't think Nico likes me like that. A hint of a smile tugged at my sister's lips. Gianna and Mama took the tour by themselves, my mother's oohs and ahs drifting down the hallway. Nobody else had arrived yet, not even the groom. He was probably planning to leave Adriana here and only show up when conjugal visits were necessary. My cousin Cece, who lived in Chicago, got the same fate, though she didn't despise it so much because she hated her husband. With the thought of conjugal visits sticking around like a bad aftertaste, I decided I needed some alcohol. So I went in search of some. My head was in the fridge when I heard him behind me. Look at you snooping through my shit. You'd think I was marrying you instead. His voice sent a shiver down my back, but I ignored it and grabbed a wine cooler off the shelf. Closing the fridge, I turned around. Nicolas stood on the other side of the island, his gaze on me as he dropped a folder next to Mama's appetizers. He must have come straight from work, because he only wore a black button-up shirt and pants, not dressed for a party. His hair was messy, like he'd been running his hands through it, and I had the sudden desire to do it myself. I leaned against the fridge. Thank the good Lord for small miracles, huh? His gaze was averted as he took off his watch and set it on the island, but a small smile pulled on his lips. My pulse pattered to an uneven beat. I'd come to the conclusion that even if I were to marry this man, he could give my heart nothing but tiny fissures and cracks. It didn't know that, though. Or maybe it did, and the heart only took chances the brain would not. Thankfully, I'd always been a realist and usually reacted to the latter's cues. However, an entirely different part of me controlled my actions regarding him. Base instincts. This was how the human species kept populating. Unyielding attraction and lust. And Mother Nature wouldn't let me forget there was a male in his prime nearby. We'd been doing something we shouldn't have yesterday. It wasn't like we'd crossed a direct line, but we'd undeniably dipped a couple of toes on the other side. It would be much easier to dip a few more the next time. It was a dangerous slope, and I just needed to stay away from it completely. I had no idea how he would regard me now. Now that I'd asked him to disrespect me. I planned to pretend it had never happened, but my body hadn't forgotten. It sang in his presence, my stupid heart warming and not knowing what was good for it. As he came around the island, I tipped my wine cooler out to him in a gesture asking him to open it. He watched me as if he definitely remembered I'd asked him to disrespect me yesterday, and he wouldn't pretend otherwise. Though his expression was indifferent, like it was nothing new to him. I was positive it wasn't. I'd had his phone for 2 minutes max and received a naked picture. I couldn't imagine what I'd see if I had it all day. He took the bottle from my hand and twisted off the cap. Right before he gave it back, he took a drink while looking at me all the while. My stomach erupted with butterflies from sharing with him, but I ignored the ridiculous feeling. I swallowed when he returned it to me and headed to the sink. My brows knitted as I looked at the half-empty bottle. How did men take such big drinks? Leaning on the fridge with the bottle resting against my lips, I watched him wash his hands. His eyes came my way, running from the hair I'd straightened and wore down to my gold dress that stopped mid-thigh. His eyes narrowed slightly, like he didn't like it at all. When his attention landed on my white heels, it traveled back up my body slowly, and I knew he was looking for the pink. Danger. Playfulness. Fever. A mixture of them all filled my chest, trickling through my bloodstream and straight between my legs. Beneath the light pink thong that suddenly felt heavy, hot, and damp. A little lightheaded, I scraped my teeth on the bottle, biting down. His gaze darkened. Was the air growing warmer? Katsu. Brother-in-law. Brother-in-law. As my eyes fell downward, I paused. The water was running pink. He was washing blood off his hands. Good day at work? My tone was sweet and sarcastic. He flicked an amused gaze to me. And look at how well you play wife. Starting to think I got the short end of the stick. My eyes followed his to see Adriana sitting on the floor, cross-legged, in the corner, playing what looked like a game on her phone. She was at least dressed appropriately in a yellow halter dress and flats. It would take blackmail to get her in heels. The TV sounded from behind the low wall that separated the kitchen from the living room, and I imagined Benito was settled on the couch with his arms resting across the back as he always had them. In the background, my mama was squealing about how big the shower was. I tilted my head. I think we do much better as fratello and sorella, don't you? He licked his lips, running his teeth across the bottom one, thoughtfully, but it looked like he was thinking about all the wrong things. Those butterflies took flight. If you say so, Elena. I do, Ace. He dried his hands and tossed the hand towel on the counter, just like a man not to hang it back up. You've been reading up on me? Maybe. I lifted a shoulder. But no one knows why they call you Ace. Can you kill a man with a playing card? That amused him. Why does it have to be about killing? Maybe I'm just damn good at cards. I raised a brow. Are you? My heartbeat raced as he walked toward me, because it felt more like a stalk than anything. I'm all right. His expression hinted at dark amusement, like he knew something I didn't. He stepped within a foot of me, braced a hand on the fridge above my head, and then leaned in until I could see nothing but him. I held my breath. His gaze was thoughtful, as though he wondered if he could trust me with his secrets, whether he wanted to. You didn't read much about me, he guessed. I shook my head. He ran a thumb across my chin, right below my bottom lip and down the small indentation. First man I killed, I shoved an ace of spades down his throat. I swallowed as he took a step back and walked away from me. Name's been with me ever since. What about her? Bitter and bisexual? Adriana answered blandly, taking a sip of wine from her seat beside me at the island. How can you tell she's bisexual? I asked. She's checked out Gianna's boobs and Benito. I paused. Well, her boobs are kind of distracting. My sister tilted her head regarding Gianna's breasts. Yeah, I guess you're right. The penthouse was full of about 20 Russos I hardly knew. The women stood in a corner talking amongst themselves, and the last thing I wanted to do was small talk. Adriana should have been getting to know them better, but she never did anything by the book. Papa was speaking to Nico, who had just come out of his room freshly showered and dressed in a black suit. Mama's smile was fake. She was doing a poor job of feigning interest in Nicolas's aunt's conversation. and Adriana and I sat here, playing a game where we judged people by two words. Only because Mama took my sister's phone and therefore Angry Birds and yelled at her to get off the floor. So far, Adriana thought everyone looked bitter and had some kind of secret sexuality. I didn't think she was giving this game her all. She still hadn't shared with me why she'd been so upset last night, and that could mean two things. She'd given it some thought and decided it wasn't as bad as she initially believed, or, the one I was concerned about, she'd decided not to listen to his demands. How would Nicolas deal with that? My stomach tightened. Your turn, Adriana said, picking at the label on my empty wine cooler. At that moment, the door swung open and a groaned, "Why?" escaped my lips. Tony stood on the other side of the door with Jenny. Her blonde hair was down. Her dress was tight and navy blue, the same color as her eyes, as they landed on us. "Oh my God, hi! It's been forever since I've seen you." Adriana rolled her eyes. She hated fake cheer, or really just cheer, in general. It wasn't my favorite either, but I understood fake better than anyone. I nudged my sister's shoulder, silently telling her to be nice. Jenny's screech brought everyone's attention to the door. Nico's gaze landed on her while speaking to my papa. I didn't know what I expected, but it wasn't for him to glance away to finish his sentence uninterested. Tony headed to Benito and Dominic, who hung out near the minibar, and Jenny came straight to us. I tensed as my brother walked by Nicolas, and then let out a breath when there was no altercation. They only glanced at each other with indifference. I'd never understand men. "I'm so happy for you, Adriana," Jenny said as she reached us. "Your wedding is so soon." It looked like Jenny wanted to hug her, but my sister's expression made it clear she didn't want to be touched. Jenny took an awkward step back after coming too close. I tried to lighten the mood and smiled. "How are you, Jenny? I hear you're graduating culinary school soon." "Yes, but I don't think I'll ever be as good a cook as Celia." She said it loudly enough for my mama to hear, who only pursed her lips and sipped her cocktail. "I swore," Adriana muttered. "Suck up." Truthfully, nobody liked Jenny. Papa frowned when he saw her, and Mama pretended she wasn't here. My father's reason was that she wasn't Italian, or connected to the Cosa Nostra, and therefore a liability. Jenny knew what my family was involved in, though she never let on she did. She wasn't faithful to Tony, which meant she didn't love him. In this life, there was only one reason a woman from the outside would stick around with a man she didn't love. Money. Jenny was a gold digger. A nice one, but a little gold digger indeed. Tony was paying for her classes, her apartment, and the diamond bracelet on her wrist. I'd always tried to give her the benefit of the doubt, but after seeing her very naked on Nicholas's phone a couple nights ago, I realized I was wrong. She grew up in the foster system, in a poor home. I couldn't dislike her for trying to make her life better any way she could, but I didn't like that she was pulling on my brother's heartstrings for her own gain. I never confronted anyone, though. No one besides Nicolas Russo, anyway. "Well, you're definitely better than Adriana and I combined," I said with a laugh. Nico's gaze found me, lingering, and I swallowed. "You'll have to give us some pointers sometime."
"Oh, I'd love that," Jenny exclaimed.
Two quiet knocks sounded on the door, and Gianna pulled herself away from a conversation with Valentina Russo to answer it. When I saw it was Christian standing on the other side, I sat straighter in my chair, brown hair combed back, in a navy suit and red tie. His countenance appeared welcoming. Only his icy blue eyes seemed to fit with the cold resonance he carried around. Every woman in the room turned to stare. Even my mama's eyes widened on him. They might as well have taken their panties off and thrown them at him, it was so obvious. Nicolas's gaze warmed my face, but I refused to look at him. Once Gianna noticed who it was, her head rolled with annoyance, and she tried to shut the door on him. With one hand and indifference, Christian easily kept it open. Gianna turned to walk away, but he stopped her by grabbing her wrist and then pulled her closer. I watched, enraptured. I didn't want Gianna to be involved with Christian because I needed him. But there was something compelling about the Dress to the Nines agent and the walking fashion disaster that was Gianna. They were so different, and yet, maybe not so different at all. Gripping her chin, Christian looked into her eyes with scrutiny. He shook his head with a slight grimace before shoving her face away. Gianna muttered something that looked to be stronzo, asshole, and then stomped away on her stilettos. Christian must have noticed she was high, but it didn't look like Gianna cared at all what he thought. So what was their relationship? Maybe she was his stepmother, too. She was married to a man 3 times her age, though I noticed she never wore a ring. Adriana's gaze landed on Christian before she announced, "Perfectionist." She paused, tilted her head, straight as an arrow. Well, at least that was on my side.
Chapter 23. Judges, lawyers, and politicians have a license to steal. We don't need one. Carlo Gambino. Nico. I was pouring a couple fingers of whiskey neat when Adriana came up beside me. I eyed her as she grabbed the vodka decanter and then filled a tumbler 3/4 full. She glanced at me, looked away, and then flicked her gaze back to me when she noticed my attention. What? Maybe try to hide your alcoholism from me from now on. Let me continue my classes, and I will. Would you rather be safe or happy? She blinked as if it were a much more complicated question. Both, I think. Unfortunately, that isn't a choice. Her sigh was put out. It's not my fault a lot of men want to kill you. A lot was probably an understatement. And now you. Her brows knitted. What? They'll want to kill my wife, too, I said, before adding, probably rape you a few times first. She frowned. Like you're going to do to me? Somehow I knew she was going to say that. I stared at her, my expression impassive. She pushed a strand of caramel-colored hair behind her ear. She had golden specks in her brown eyes, like Elena's. In a disturbing way, I hoped there were other similarities. You're not even going to say you won't rape me? She sounded annoyed, bringing her drink to her lips while looking out the floor-to-ceiling windows. I admired the view with her. No. Why not? Not very good at keeping promises. She choked on a sip of vodka, glancing at me with wide eyes. I'm going to die, she muttered before disappearing. Dry amusement filled me, and I gave my head the tiniest shake. That meeting with my future wife went well. I hadn't raped a woman in my life and wouldn't start now. Though for some reason I'd felt like sabotaging the conversation. Probably because I was already agitated and the night had just started. Elena stood in the kitchen talking to Lorenzo, with her complete attention on him. Her long hair was pinned straight, and she wore a gold dress that hugged her every curve. It was way too fucking tight, and receiving an